Hello, and welcome to the Post Credits Podcast. I'm Michael Chasen. I'm here today with Cameron Evans.
That's me.
Ty Sheedlow.
Hello.
Second time guest, Mike Effenberger.
Howdy doody.
And, oh my god, long overdue, first time super debut special guest. I've said it too much, I'll just stop. Gus Bandinelli.
Who's that, Lou?
Let the hate begin.
No, we hate hardcore here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember when it was my virgin experience.
Think about it.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Okay, so we all just saw The Place Beyond the Pines, the new movie from what's his name?
Derek C. in France.
Look at how prepared Gus is.
He knows his name.
Wait, who is in this movie?
And starring Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper.
Okay. Bradley Cooper, Dane DeHaan as well.
Chronicle Man.
Some other people. A lot of people. Eva Mendes, Rose Byrne.
Ray Liotta.
And that was our review.
What a great
comment. So, I think, let's just be kind of general first, because I knew a lot less than I thought going into this.
Yeah, 0% of this.
So let's try to preserve that at least for now, and just general thoughts. Gus, let's pick on the new guy.
All right.
What'd you think?
Hey.
I have a high tolerance for slow movies, and so the length of it didn't really bother me, and I wasn't ever really bored, and I thought that the concepts behind the story was pretty strong. I mean, obviously, you know, there were some things that I wasn't, crazy about, but on the whole, thumbs up for me.
Okay.
We don't do that here?
No, God.
Do you guys not tell Gus we don't do thumbs up here?
He's embarrassed.
The audience can hear it. They can hear the thumbs up.
Sorry, I've ruined it.
No takesies, backsies.
High tolerance for long movies, low tolerance for thumbs up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyone else want to jump in?
I mean, I didn't really know anything about it other than it was from the guy that did Blue Valentine, a movie that I have not seen.
I think, to our great shame, I think none of us in this room have seen Blue Valentine, is that correct?
Yes.
Correct.
That is correct, yeah.
We're sorry. We know we should have by now.
I didn't really know what to expect other than I'm a fan of the Gauze.
hesitant about the coupe.
Well, the thing is, about the Mr. Cooper is that I avoided everything that he did until Silver Linings Playbook came out, and now while I will not seek it out, I will accept him as a serious actor. And I think, again, he did a very good job in this movie, as did my good friend Ryan. But I really liked it. I don't have a super high tolerance for long movies, unless they're funny, which this was not.
It was funny sometimes in that way where someone says something mildly.
People were very afraid to laugh. Yeah. I think I was maybe the first person in the theater to test the waters with a little giggle, a little chortle, and
trendsetter.
dipped my foot in the water, but.
Got a guffaw in.
Yeah, exactly. But, there were some little things that were funny. But I think it did a really good job of keeping you entertained despite the really long runtime and very slow pacing. I was never really bored. I think the third act was certainly, and these are what most people have been saying, but the third act was the slowest. But it was still, I think, very good story and the acting.
Yeah. I am the biggest fan of this film's use of plant and payoff, which I would argue was remarkably subtle. I could see how other people could flip that around and say, actually, it was fairly obvious. Regardless, I really enjoyed it, and for anyone who goes out to see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. There are certain things that happen very early on in the movie that come back, sometimes in a big way, sometimes very minor, but it really hits you. And I am a huge fan of how this film approaches narrative. It does something with it, that I haven't seen in theaters I honestly can't recall another film that I've seen that, tackles the type of narrative that this constructs. And I don't want to really give
generational,
it. Generational, a triptych narrative, yeah. And That's all I'll say about that. The acting was fantastic. Ray Liotta is the scariest goddamn thing.
Oh, God. Get out of here.
When he shows up, it was like one of those, like, respected actor randomly showing up in a movie. Basically, yeah. He knocked on, he might as well have said, like, hi, I'm Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, right. And then just like, okay, what's he gonna do? And then I just, like, shrunk down in my seat more and more as he was just the worst person.
Oh, this was definitely like the first movie he's been in a long time that's actually worthy of his talent. I feel like he's been shoehorned in some random little dumb kind of crime things lately.
They do like
he shots fired at
comedy. Yeah.
Killing them softly.
Yeah, but I think he really got a meaty role that kind of allowed him to take advantage of his strengths again. And I was like really delighted to see him, you know, in such a good role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I think all the performances, once again, yeah, really great. Ryan Gosling was great because he's... It's sort of weird because the character is kind of a low life, so it's always a little hard to make that sort of person compelling. And they really went with it, just appearance-wise, because he, as pretty as Ryan Gosling is, they just gave him the weirdest collection of tattoos.
Yeah, I also have an interesting note on that I heard, which is that... Ryan Gosling insisted that he would have a dagger tattoo on his face with blood dripping from it. And right after he got it, he just, like, despised it. And was like, like, and the director just said, like, you're stuck with it. Like, it sucks for you. You're going to just have this tattoo for the whole movie. And so, and there's an interview on the New York Times where the director's talking about how that totally, like, changed his character. And he became, like, very hesitant to engage in certain situations and had kind of, like, a sense of shame to him, which is really interesting.
That's really great, yeah. I thought he was still likable. I enjoyed.
Well,
him.
I mean, you could argue that he's like. I mean,
I thought he was the worst ever.
I don't want to get into it, obviously, but I mean, you could argue that he's the protagonist or like the hero in a way of the movie, as opposed to I guess who the more obvious hero or protagonist would be, but. I
cops
thought
robbers,
he was compelling. I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed him as a person, but I think his character was very compelling.
That's why I enjoyed him, because I would never want to talk to him in real life, of course. Like, if I walked by that dude, I'd be like, just, oh, Jesus, don't look at him. But I still found him really compelling, which is what impressed me, that I was still caught up in his storyline, and I felt for him and all his weird interactions with people in his life.
You know what I find even more compelling?
What?
Is his scream. I don't know, the pitch that he hits was very off-putting for me.
When he robs his bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which, that was...
Weird vocal inflections.
Yeah, I know.
I think of him as being a really, just really suave, cool guy, and especially his voice. Like, it's a big part of it, and this movie is very different.
Well, he's usually
like a cool, quiet guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think what they did a good job of, and I don't know if they were, like, going out of their way to do this, because they shouldn't, but, I mean, Drive came out fairly recently, and not that it's a super similar character, but it's, like, a guy that likes a certain type of vehicle.
A guy that's good at cars.
And then does
crime.
Some things with crime.
And tries to take care of a woman who has a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And is a real human being and a real hero.
Yeah.
And also, you knew that we wouldn't get through that without seeing Ryan Gosling, like, only illuminated with some neon color.
Yeah.
Literally just, like, in the dark, like...
Exactly. So I think they did a good job of being like, well, we'll make him talk at least, unlike his character, unlike the driver, and then, like, obviously, I mean, his voice, and then physicality, and a lot of other things. I mean, his character as well, but I think they did a good job of that, because when I first saw the trailer, I was like, is this Drive 2? Because it starts with him just on a motorcycle, Ryan Gosling with tattoos.
I think Only God Forgives is going to be Drive 2.
Yes.
that is
true.
And it looks so good.
Yeah, no,
I'm very excited, like, for Drive 2.
I was also thinking, like, I saw the trailer for that, and I thought, like, oh, that's what I want. And Place Beyond the Pines is tricking me into thinking that that's going to be what it is, and it's not going to be what I want. Because I was kind of worried going in, because, you know, it was like a 9:30 showing, 2.5-hour movie. I was a little tired. And I wasn't, like, in the greatest mood to see it. Not that I didn't want to see it, but I just wasn't pumped. I wasn't like, yeah, it's Place Beyond the Pines. So I was worried, like, I would just be disengaged for the whole time for a very long movie.
Especially because we were sitting pretty close as well. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna have to like crane my neck.
Yeah. So that would have sucked. But no, that did not happen even a little bit. I was completely enraptured the whole time, and that I mean, it wasn't the I was going to like mitigate my opinion of the movie there by saying like it wasn't the best thing ever. But honestly, I was enthralled the entire time, and I liked pretty much everything that it did. So yeah.
All right. I want a positive question for you guys.
You may.
Okay. So if you found out that your one night stand, you know, had a kid, would you rob a bank to support said kid?
No.
Are you trying to argue that he's a better person than us?
What I'm trying to say is, Ty, when, you know, I bury your child, are you going to rob banks for me? This is where it all comes out.
You just called me out here.
Yeah. And you thought the gala was an evening of illumination.
I wouldn't, but I think I believed that he would. And isn't that what matters? Yeah. All the bank robbery scenes were great, too.
I really liked them. It reminded me of this excellent movie. I don't know if you guys heard of it, but Killing Them Softly.
That's what it opposite reminded me of. Yeah, it was like the photo negative film of this. From like, good.
The thing about Killing Them Softly is like the one really positive thing I kept hearing about it before I saw it was like, there's a robbery scene in this, fantastic. And I think the robbery scenes in this movie were much better than the robbery in
Also, the escape.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes. So great.
The sound was just like off the charts.
Like the chase we thought.
I think every chase in that.
I mean, they were all
great. Yeah. There's one much later in the third act of the film that's really short, and I think it was only like two shots. That is on such a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And it involves only a pedaled bike. But it like that got me pumped. I was like, "Oh my god, that's intense!"
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's all characterization. Didn't need you know flashy camera movements or nothing.
Yeah, and only $10 million of CGI in that scene.
There was
no human in there.
Yeah, actually, there needs a lot of green screen.
There were no people or streams on a bicycle. He signed over the rights to his image.
Something I thought about bringing up was Bradley Cooper. Very like anti Bradley Cooper entrance.
I've been waiting to make that point. Yeah,
they didn't play it up at all. Like it was just this is the cop, and then you're like, over time, you're like, oh wait, that's the guy from
Silver Lake. I completely agree because I didn't really know what the structure of this movie was. And I mean, it says right at the beginning, you see their names. It's Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper together. And I'm just like, at some point, I'm just like, wow, Bradley Cooper's still not in this movie. And then it's just partway through a scene where I'm just like watching it and watching the character. And it's like, oh, wait, that's Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did a really good job of removing the emphasis of like who's playing the character.
Exactly.
Ryan Gosling's introduction is amazing.
Yes.
And doesn't like you know if you were completely blind to what was happening, you know, like if you didn't know going in that it was Ryan Gosling, you wouldn't know until a few minutes in that it was even him.
Well, imagine going into this movie and you don't know who either of the leads are. You would know immediately, like, there's our main character, Ryan Gosling. You would have no freaking idea who that like cop dude was. You'd think that was just like a minor character in this one scene.
Right.
And then you'd be quite surprised by where the film goes from there. I think. I would love to watch it or hear someone who has watched it from that perspective somehow.
Yeah.
Because wow, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. Can you take this to like New Guinea or something?
Well, just wait 30 years and no one knows who Bradley Cooper is. Or 40, like or someone like our age in like 40 years.
Michael, how dare you?
I've insulted all the Bradley Cooper fans in a minor and inoffensive way. I will enter witness protection in the morning.
No, I agree with Ty though. I did not really have a very high opinion of Bradley Cooper until recently. And Silver Linings Playbook was the first time I ever really noticed him. It was like, oh wow, maybe he is kind of capable of you know being a great actor. And then in this movie really confirmed it for me. I'm like, okay, I guess I think of him as a good actor.
Yeah.
Well, two films ago, I thought of him as the worst. Like,
Limitless era, probably.
Yeah, perhaps. And I'm never going to, like, think about that as a negative factor when considering I've seen the movie now. So, I mean, props to him.
Yeah, no, he did a very good job. Yeah.
You could say, yeah, I mean, like, the possibilities for him now are limitless. Like,
I think that's the end of the podcast.
I will say, as like, here's the thing, though. As good as those movies without that Bradley Cooper has done since Limitless, none of them have had a scene as good as the one where he swings a little girl at someone and uses her ice skate to cut someone's face.
Yeah.
Or no, where his wife into that or something. But like, whatever. It's the best scene in the world.
That's not a scene, is
what?
It?
Yeah.
In Limitless.
Yeah.
I have not.
Because
Limitless
is all about him using drugs to like predict the possibilities
so,
of things.
So his like
so
his wife. Is it his wife or his girlfriend?
It's his girlfriend. Remember.
Okay.
It's
she's like she's in trouble and in danger and she has some of those drugs on her that make you really smart, and he tells her, like, take it, and you'll be able to think your way out. And she's like, I don't understand. Just take it. You'll think your way out. Don't worry. It's because someone's chasing her. She's maybe going to kill her. And she takes the drug, and she's like, oh. And then she's just assessing everything in her surroundings in this park, and she sees all the infinite possibilities of reality before her. And then she sprints across this, like, ice-frozen pond. The dude's runs after her. She grabs like a 5-year-old girl, swings her around, and cuts the dude with the girl's ice skate. And the dude's like on the ground, like, ah, my face! And she puts the girl down and makes her escape.
God, that sounds like what happened when I got my coffee this morning. It's like,
what?
That's my drug elimination. Yeah. No.
So this has been another installment of Michael Describes Scenes from Limitless. I'm back next week where I describe the scene where that foreign guy who became his enemy then like gets really smart. I'm going to talk about that scene.
I don't remember that scene. I'm really excited for next week.
It's great. It's great. You watch Limitless right up to that point and stop, and then I'll.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do my
wait. Mind. I want to see Bradley Cooper become president of the United States of America.
That doesn't happen yet. Limitless does it.
That's the end, right?
He's like,
he becomes someone.
Robert De Niro is there, and
he's
like,
there.
Hey.
Okay.
I don't know what
Gus, let's tune in next week for Gus.
Oh, ding, ding. Did you guys hear that bell? I heard a bell, and that's the we don't talk about Limitless anymore. That's what the bell means, guys.
It's only on a frequency that Michael can hear.
Yes.
I agree. Let's get back to the topic at hand.
Place Beyond the Pines is what it's called.
Nah.
That was a good movie. it's a little hard to talk about if we're not.
Well, that's
spoiling.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
We have to spoil the framework of the movie. I guess it is.
One of the things that I was going to point out as well is that pacing-wise, I felt that it was almost identical to Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the David Fincher one. Like, just totally...
It wasn't that long.
The same... Yeah, but, like, same, like, tone and pacing to me. Like, I just got, like, such a Dragon Tattoo vibe from it. And I liked the pacing of that movie, so I thought it was...
Yeah, really I guess cool. Since I wasn't bombarded with the color... blue and orange. I didn't think
you know
of
what
that.
You're talking about orange and dragons together.
No, I definitely didn't think the pacing was an issue at all, except for maybe the very end. Towards mm-hmm. the very end of the film, I was like, every few minutes, I was like, oh, it could end here. Oh, I guess it's not, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like
because
it wasn't
continued to be
though.
Good. So
yeah,
that was
exactly.
Like, if it had become... not as good, then.
It's like...
Had a minor
it's like
a, Return of the King,
it's
just,
like you got
yeah.
you got some stuff to do, you got a house guest, they're being pleasant, they're pleasant the whole time, and that's like, oh, I do really have this stuff to do now, but, you know, we can just keep hanging out, it's okay.
I thought you were describing a scene in the movie.
No.
Were
you Limitless?
No, I was not. It was an analogy to describe.
Yeah, no, I got that now.
Oh, that's what
I
made me feel.
I got you.
A little bit. I meant camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honestly, I think the characterization is what like allows this movie to get beyond any potential pacing issues.
Oh, yeah.
I love the world and the people that were inhabiting it. Also, wasn't the... guy who... owns the repair shop, the same guy from
Dark Knight Rises.
Softly.
Yes.
Softly.
Yes.
Wait, he was in the Dark Knight Rises?
Yes, as what's his face? The stock
Bane.
Guy.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right!
He plays a lot of winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love him. He has just such a great
really
charisma, just that slimy guy, but you
yeah,
really
yeah,
enjoy like, watching him.
When they were leaving the trailer, no spoilers. He just like the way that he played off a lot of his scenes were so like improv feeling without feeling like he was just making. You know, it felt
yeah.
very natural and like his delivery was like probably like to me the best. I actually thought he was like
yeah.
the most like consistent and realistic to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Also, he was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah. I think he had some of the best.
I would think it's because like he alleviated like a lot of the dramatic tension.
Yeah.
Like I think
yeah.
everyone was really solid. I don't want to say that he gave the best performance because I don't think that's true.
But seeing him play opposite Gosling was great.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
They're just polar opposites. Like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, just random comment. I really want to see like a GIF of that scene where like he dances with Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling's like swinging the cab back.
Yeah.
And
oh
forth.
Wait, no,
and
the dog.
He has his shirt off and it's just kind of awkwardly like moving
yeah.
his arms.
Yeah, the
that's
dog.
It.
Yeah.
That
was
that'd
be a damn good GIF.
Right.
Was ecstatic to hear Springsteen playing with Gosling
yeah.
dancing. I was just like,
yeah.
I, apparently the director like knows my dreams and inner needs because
yeah.
that this fulfills it.
Also, without spoiling anything, I thought that that character had the best line in the movie, which we'll discuss later.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then I think just all the dialogue actually was so well written. Like, everyone sounded so naturalistic and believable.
So
but, like, the things they said were so great
yeah.
and compelling
yeah.
and made and just gave such insight to their characters while commenting on the world at large, sometimes whether they were aware of it, sometimes not. And it's just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to just watch and absorb. And I think, Mike, you tweeted that it was like a novel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, like, and I think that also, again, that, like, stems from the triptych narrative, and it really does feel
mm-hmm.
like an epic on,
yeah.
you know, masculinity, fathers and sons, justice, lying, deceit, honor.
Motorcycles!
But actually, and... I think again, like saying that it is like a novel in cinema form. I think that's like the best way that you could potentially describe this film. And if you're up for that, then more power to you, because I think you're going to get a great time out of this film.
And if you're down for that, it means the same thing. So you have no choice but to see the movie.
Soundtrack.
Yes.
I thought
beautiful.
It was
beautiful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
vocal track, every time that played, like especially there was a moment when that played over the really neat shot of the car just driving through
mm-hmm.
the forest,
mm-hmm.
and it just like
the pines.
It cuts
yeah.
through the beyond the pines,
like up the place
there.
Which
yeah.
is actually the translation
moment.
For the name of the city, like Schenectady.
Schenectady.
It's not. It wasn't Schenectady. I think it was something different.
What?
It wasn't spelled like Schenectady
in New York.
Completely derailed, Gus. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. There was one shot where it cut to the driving in the pine
mm-hmm.
ridden road. And that sound like they're on the road. It's not really perfect.
Also,
anyway.
Makes it sound like pines are the worst thing ever.
It's ridden with
pines. But it cuts to that shot and that vocal song comes on, and it's just like. They did some like audio processing on that, and it was just like boom, like but without you know there was no like hit, but like you just felt it was just like oh, like it's great. I love that. That was
yeah.
maybe like one of my favorite.
Speaking
parts,
of shots,
sure
you like pictures in the movie.
Wow, that sounds shallow.
You
Gus,
like your,
Gus, were the pictures pretty?
You like your movies with
well,
pictures. What did you think?
Looked good. There's a whole background behind that. But I was really impressed with it because there's always sort of a choice that you have to make with how realistic you want it to be and how good you want it to look. And I thought that this perfectly like straddled the line because nothing ever felt too composed. Like they weren't moving actors around to get the right shot, and they weren't really like you know, placing a bunch of, like, film lights around it felt like, it just, like, felt very observational in a way, like, just not,
yeah.
You know, the camera was just there. It didn't feel like it was controlling anything, which is how it should be, in my opinion.
It really reminded me of Lincoln in that regard.
Oh, God! No! it's kind of like a compromise between, like, Beast of the Southern Wild and, like, I don't know, and even, like, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo or something feels kind of like, it's halfway between those, whereas Dragon
mm-hmm.
Tattoo is very composed, but very, like, impromptu feeling, and then
yeah.
Beast is very uncomposed, I don't know.
Very handheld,
yeah.
But it had, the visual fidelity, I think, was very similar in both
yeah.
instances, like, there was still that just inkling of grain,
yeah, there was
little,
yeah.
and the lighting, again, very similar, and I think, actually, like, same use of colors, like, they were very similar in that regard.
Which ones?
Beasts and Pines.
Yeah.
Like, and at least in comparison to like a girl with a dragon tattoo, which was not.
It
was very cold.
Yes.
This movie was a remake of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wait, but so you said it's connected. He's actually, it actually means
Place Beyond the Pines. It actually means Place Beyond the Pines.
Why didn't that so good?
I was going to ask if anyone, if anyone knew what the title was.
Well, I thought.
I mean, I just thought it meant that when
they go
to pine-based places a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a deeper meaning, but
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Man.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Good
find.
Yeah, good on you, movie.
Good job, you.
Also, before we exit the topic of visuals, the New York Times article/video, which you should watch because it's great, talks about how in the first shot, the cinematographer demanded that he be in the cage with the bikes. And he did it twice, and both times he was knocked unconscious by a motorcycle falling on his face.
Oh my god.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And so the director's like, you can't keep doing this. So they
that's when the cinematographer responded, like, keep doing what? And then walks into the cage again.
Exactly. So they made a different, slightly modified it for the final product, but I would have liked to have seen, the outtakes.
Maybe they have some.
I'm sure they printed that footage. So that's probably amazing.
Because the opening the opening shot involves like motorcycles in a cage. Yeah,
it's
which
very
is
long
beautiful,
shot.
And it's
yeah,
like
it's the entire length of the credits. So it'll probably look what.
And
five minutes.
I thought you were going to end that description with like, and here's how they did it, so he didn't get hit by motorcycles.
No, yeah, they and. The cinematographer was like really mad that he couldn't do it. He was like, "Oh, come on, man! Like, I can do this."
Like, they could have just made a smaller
was there like some kind of strategy to have him not get hit with motorcycles?
They actually like were ready. They were prepared to not hit him. Like they can target because they dodge each other.
Yeah,
like, they can pick a spot and say we won't go there.
Yeah,
but
I couldn't if I was in
the
movie.
I think the first time one of them stalled. Going upside down.
Oh, so it was like actually.
So they both times it was like it was the biker's fault. So it was like too bad. But,
oh well.
You know, still a great shot. Turned out really good. So.
Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Do we have anything to discuss that we don't need to spoil parts of the movie for?
Rose Byrne was good.
Okay.
There's nothing to discuss. We just didn't mention. I mean, Eva Mendes was. Because I mean, it's not really about the female characters in this movie, but I think both of them. Did a very good job.
Yeah. I don't think this spoils anything, but Bradley Cooper very much stayed the same age throughout the entire film.
And also with everyone else, to be fair.
They added some great Eva.
Change that occurred at some
Has that ever been done well?
No, like look at the ending of Harry Potter 7, and it's like, let's not do that ever again.
They reached the pinnacle in Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I thought that was. I also thought that was kind of not quite necessary that it was that big of a jump. Well, it was, but it shouldn't have
been. Also, that it signaled the jump. Like that, I don't know. That kind of took me out.
Now,
we're told by now we've actually have spoiled this. So.
No. We haven't.
Okay.
Okay. It's a saga.
Yeah. Generation.
By Brian K. Vaughan.
Exactly.
That's just a great comment with you. Plug.
Michael will be reading that on the podcast next week.
I'll be reading it, the dialogue, and describing panels of how they look.
Can we delve into spoiler territory?
That's what was doing today.
Yes, we can. I want to keep what we would view as like the key event. I don't want to mention that specifically.
The game changer.
Well, how can we not?
We will later. I think, but I just like for now we can just say like still just see the movie. Don't worry, spoiling stuff. You should just see the movie. But that's like we can say that there's like it is like basically the first act is like Ryan Gosling's, and then it completely transitions, and the second act becomes Bradley Cooper's, and then there's a completely separate third act that takes place 15 years later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is
like
about
The Wire in film.
The Wire doesn't do that.
Kind of, maybe.
Whoops.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
I've never seen the one.
I haven't either. I'm going off of hearsay. Okay. It's the last time I tried to pull that stunt. At least with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man, it's just like, you out. This movie was a lot like Bioshock Infinite, which I haven't played, but I've...
Okay.
But I've heard.
And it is kind of jarring because we did not know it would be like that going in terms of its three-act structure. It's very definite three-act structure. It's kind of like a generational story, and it uses this to, like... So there's like a photograph that has a different meaning each time and when it comes back, and
yes.
It's like many things.
They're
like
also
that.
Repeating shots that work
yes.
really
yeah.
well.
And
there's more like hot.
Yes. And like yeah. meetings of characters.
And,
yes.
like,
and
scenes,
locations. There was
locations.
One.
Oh, yeah, the. But very
that
small.
That was
like,
great.
Yeah.
And the one of my favorite parts of the whole thing that involved meeting in a car that, like, the second time around, you're just like, oh, like, what? How is this.
You know what? We're spoiling stuff.
Yeah,
just talk
yeah.
about it.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
What follows are spoilers.
These are for people. Okay. Yeah, we're
yeah.
spoiling the whole movie now.
Do you know what I was just talking about, though?
I wasn't 100%. That's
okay.
why I'm saying we should
so,
just discuss this.
Spoiler.
See Place Beyond the Pines.
See Place Beyond the Pines. This is a spoiler.
Okay.
Spoiling. I'm spoiling the spoiler by telling you that I'm about to say
but
it.
In Limitless.
Anyway. There's a point where, Ryan Gosling's character is trying to force his one-night stand to take some money for his son, and it happens outside of what I believe was her work. I'm not positive.
Yes, it's outside of the
and he throws the money in the car, and later, when Bradley Cooper tries to return the money to her, he's put in the exact same position, and, like, they just do all these sort of, like,
mm-hmm.
they just force people into the same position, and, like, it's almost just, like, putting them in, like, a, you know... like a petri dish and seeing how they react differently. And so it was very interesting
yeah.
how they like
there was another
put different characters in the same places to like kind of diverge their personalities.
Yeah.
I mean it really made sense with a lot of the thematics and stuff where people just make the same mistakes and the consequences
yeah.
of
mm-hmm.
each generation.
A lot of the scenes were very similar too.
Yeah.
Like we talked about the chase scene, and how there were a lot of chase scenes, but also there was just
yeah.
like in each different act, there was a scene in, for Ryan Gosling, was the chase scene, and then you could kind of see it mirrored in the other two acts, where the character became, like, nauseous, so each act also had a scene where that happened, and then there were a bunch of other, like, parallels, and then small things that, like, you were talking about. Just
fucking
like,
ice cream.
The
I'm
ice
never,
cream
I'm never gonna eat ice cream the same way
again. Yeah, that was maybe my
that
thing. And the crib also made a
yeah. And then the
very important
yeah, the, and the actual like return to the pines towards the very end of the film was fantastic. One minor thing when you were talking about like great car scenes. The shot where
Ray
Liotta
face.
Pulls over Bradley Cooper, and you can just see the sliver of his eye from the top of the hood, and he's just like, "Hey, Brad,
yeah,
what's up?"
Like, that was Ray is watching.
That is terrible.
And I have never been more scared of brake lights. He pulls him over, and
that
just the brake lights go on, and Bradley's got the gun out over the wheel.
That was
and then Bradley does the thing that everybody else is thinking, where he's just like, just back the fuck up, and he does.
That was very Dragon Tattoo in the whole conversation of like,
yeah,
of
yeah.
like, but when they, what the character points out, where he's like, why did you come in? You knew I'm fucking gonna kill you.
Yeah.
You really
yeah.
should have
yeah,
just.
That's true. Yeah.
Did you think you would be? You don't want to be rude to the person who's clearly going to kill
yeah.
you. It's like, how insane is that? And here Bradley Cooper's like, wait, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
And like,
so yeah. if we're going to spoil things.
Yeah, we can.
We are.
Have
we're
to
in,
talk.
We're,
we're
we have
I'm,
entered the place
I,
beyond
the post spoiler era. Okay. Just in case you have fast forwarded through this tremendously boring podcast and arrived at this moment, spoiler. When Ryan Gosling dies, that was like the most Like my head reflected the same thing that was happening.
That was the most. Yeah, I've not been that surprised by a film death in a while. Like when they shoot each other. I'm like, oh cool, they shot each other. Now we're gonna see some kind of relationship develop between them or something. Like I don't know where are they going with this. And then just camera shows right, like, oh he's dead. Shit.
But you're like, oh like they can save him.
I was like, no.
The pool of blood. No, just like
it's really funny too because then two police officers come up and they're like, "Put your hands on the ground,"
oh, yeah.
And he's clearly dead.
There's a puddle of blood. There's protocol. Let's hear
it. Yeah,
that's the problem. Cops like you make mistakes like Bradley Cooper who don't.
But yeah, you're totally right though. The progression of that is amazing. He's first he's lying on the ground, you're like, shit, he can come back. Then the pool of blood from the head starts pouring out, and you're like, shit, okay, well maybe he's got a concussion. And then he just like blood spews out of his mouth, and you're like, well, goodbye, Gosling.
Like an eighth of the way into this movie. Like,
for me, it was like very much. I mean, it was different because you. I mean, I guess it's similar in a way, but Full Metal Jacket. Spoiler!
Wait, don't spoil. I haven't seen Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, sorry. Psycho. Everyone's seen Psycho. If you haven't, I don't know what you're doing with yourself.
You haven't. You're
but,
really.
I mean, it's like that same idea where you like halfway you think this, you're like ah. Man, I love Ryan Gosling. Can't wait to see him for 2 hours and 30.
But that doesn't
minutes.
Happen in Full Metal Jacket. He meant to say something else.
Yeah, did I say something?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling was all the way throughout Full Metal Jacket.
One of my favorite things was that they executed the like tag team protagonist so well. In my opinion. Like,
yes.
That's such like a staple of bad student films. Like, oh, I can do that. Like, easy. Mm-hmm. But like, that's how you do it.
No, kill him softly.
Oh, please. But like, did that...
Yeah, that had, because it had,
spoiler!
No, it's not spoiler. That is not spoiler.
Stop, you spoil the word too much.
It had, Bradley Pitt, and our...
it's Bradford
Pitt. And, the two robbers at the beginning, and it, like, switches.
Some other idiots, and then some other idiots.
Yeah,
like, suck, and then
it's some other idiots. Yeah,
like, no.
And Ty fell asleep.
Yeah,
I
know.
Ty
fell asleep.
Guys. Like this, they're not tagging back and forth.
I know, but like if you're handling multiple people, Crowbars and the hit that takes place between Gosling and the actual husband was that hurt.
Yeah.
That hurt watching that when
the husband
comes in, and he's like. Yo, Ryan, you best leave the house. And Ryan's like, I really got to set up your crib.
I have to.
What? No, it's not.
It's not racist if he's black.
That's true.
Hey.
The scene was really disturbing because it was just like so efficient. Just like one blow, and it's just like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Oh, damn! Like
over
that happened. Like
I think it's like it did a really good job. Maybe, I mean, I guess it's separate from the blood pooling out of his head, but like just like the violence wasn't like awesome. Mm-hmm. It was very not awesome.
Yeah, but it just like was so effective in establishing like who his character is and like he's not a nice guy.
Well, he holds
the baby after that. That was just, like,
oh yeah, I thought it was just gonna walk.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna walk off with the baby.
Yeah,
like. Yeah, and then he like tells the grandma or the mom, and he's like, "Shh, it's okay." And he just stays in the house.
Well,
and, like,
he does
you
know,
like,
his
yeah,
what I love about it is like then he gets arrested for that because it's like it's not like fucking movie rules where you can just beat the hell out of someone.
Yeah,
and then because you had character reasons for doing it, you suffer no consequences.
Yeah.
It's like
no,
he went to jail because he hit a man.
Mm. Yeah, but that was such a great portrayal of domestic abuse. Like, it felt so real, and like you said, there were real consequences. But in the heat of the moment, like, he's not even thinking about, like, I just committed a brutal act of violence. Like, he cradles the baby and is, like, totally calm and composed. I think you were about to say something.
Yes? I just, speaking... on the subject of consequences, I don't know. One of the things that really helped me sort of like stick with it and stick with the realism of it is that nothing happened that was so, you know, nothing felt movie like in a way. Like there was nothing that was like, oh, like come on.
Not until the last act.
The last act is a separate movie, kind of. So.
I like the last act. I like it too.
But I think it stretched believability the most of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, of the other parts of the movie.
At times,
because
yes.
it was all in service of the theme, which I really liked, but just... Mm-hmm. So that's why I forgive it a lot, and I really like the last act. But I think,
like,
it was imperfect.
That's true, yeah.
The much more, you know, seamless...
It's like a cost-benefit thing. It's like, on the one hand, is it kind of ridiculous that now, like, Ryan Gosling's son has Bradley Cooper on his knees at gunpoint?
Yeah.
In this, like, secluded wooded area? Is
actually,
that a little insane?
I take back my previous comment, because that is what stretched believability for me, was that their son would do that.
Yes.
That,
so is that ridiculous that he would do that? Yes. But on the other hand, during that scene was like going, oh my god, he held him as a baby!
Yeah.
I also was doing that, so it was like,
I think it paid off. For the message of the film, I think it paid off.
Yeah.
It was really good for that.
And
I
thought...
I don't know if it was necessarily...
The actor's portrayal, whose name I'm forgetting.
Dane DeHaan. Are we talking about Ryan Gosling?
No, we're talking about Dane DeHaan. I'm talking about Dane
DeHaan. We're always talking about Dane DeHaan.
Always. that he... that guy has nailed the portrayal of the troubled teenager.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Can't wait to see him as Harry Osborn, amazing
Spider-Man.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh.
He should learn a new trick, though. He's really good at it, but we don't need to see him as Harry Osborn, Spider-Man.
We don't need to see anyone who's in that movie as anyone in that movie.
Yeah.
No one in that movie
to,
needs to be in
wait,
the
you guys
movie.
Are excited
don't need
for
to see that movie.
Jamie Foxx Avatar? Alex?
I'm so excited for that movie.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited
it's
for
like
that
movie. It's like... The first one was bad. How are you going to... I'm not going to care about the sequel. Oh, you're gonna just going to cast... Make the most... Like, that... Even if it was, like, bad... If it was, like, supposed to be bad, I wouldn't be, like, excited about how bad it was. But now
this
it's just, like... It just has several of the most ridiculous casting decisions I've ever heard of. Now I'm excited.
Paul Giamatti as the Rhino is my favorite casting in the movie ever.
That happened, and my brain broke, and I started, like, tweeting hypothetical casting decisions. The best of which, by far, which no one will understand the reference, was Chiwetel Ejiofor and Kristen Bell as Cloak and Dagger.
Wait, did you just pull a Tropic Thunder, like a person as a person as a Kristen Bell?
No, Chiwetel Ejiofor and Kristen Bell.
Oh, and Kirsten, okay.
Which if you see the actors and the characters, it's like...
Wait,
did
you say Craven?
Well, that would actually be a good idea. It would be Jared Butler as Craven the Huntler, the Hunter.
Craven the Hustler.
I was saying
Hunter.
He wears the leopard skin like no one's
business. That would actually be like a cool thing if that happened, but
yeah.
Wait, you're saying that Jamie Foxx is...
I don't even understand anything about that. He's a good actor. It's not a character anyone cares about, so like, why not? But he's not that great an actor, but it's like, fine, put him in the movie. Yeah. I don't care.
What are we talking about?
Let's get on the pun.
Five tangents.
I could have
it's all relevant. It'll come together.
It'll come together. This is a triptych conversation. It's all building on the same themes of friendship and podcasting. And,
yes.
And we're going to ride away on an amazing spider cycle at the end. It's all thematic.
I actually like that, even though I was kind of just like...
I'm like, this is bullshit, but I'm fine with that.
It's very, like... sort of Hal Ashby ending, like just like super long telephoto shots and pretty autumn things. I was like, oh, like he's cool now.
One thing I've
what is his life now? He's just like an out. He's just like a fucking out. His life is fucking ruined.
Well, he said he was leaving. Though. He said he's going west. So he's like,
yeah, you can't do that anymore. It's like that doesn't work.
I guess, but like
he's gonna be a loner like his dad, and
that turned out so well.
Yeah, well,
that's the point.
Yeah.
Even the best.
How did Bradley Cooper's son get to be such an asshole? That's what I wanted.
Because
to
Bradley Cooper wasn't there.
They have that kid.
Because Bradley Cooper wasn't there. Bradley Cooper.
He was off a turn.
Bradley Cooper was a shitty father, like a good man, but a shitty father. And then Ryan Gosling,
shitty man, good father.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean,
ooh,
even then, I feel like because he's always nurturing to the baby, he never. Bradley Cooper's like, can't even look at my son. Like, okay.
I mean, Bradley Cooper had he had a sense of conscience in the film, but even then he wasn't I wouldn't say he was a good guy. Because,
I thought he was the antagonist. Like,
I thought he was the bad guy,
and Ryan Gosling was the good guy, but you don't like
him. And then Ray Liotta shows up.
Just the specter of whiteness so much. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, and, I mean, that was like the good, the bad, and the ugly. Honestly.
Yeah.
I do want to say really quick, because I didn't get to say this, with the ending, with that particular shot where, he rides off into the Sunset. I have such a love-hate relationship with films that end
yeah.
like that, where it's like, he's riding, and it's the long take,
what?
And he's driving down the road. I just want to see them crash.
Did you
see, like, when they're a little speck in the distance, it just goes like
did
oh,
you see
it's
the
cool.
after-
because
of
that clanging
though?
Sounds
where,
and Kelly,
like, E.T. is in the front, and he just flies up, and then it's the silhouette of
people. Well, and then it just segues into the first scene of Hot Rod.
the Simpsons.
It was prequel to Hot Rod.
The Simpsons
like
does that. They have
does it?
They have like a Mary Poppins character in an episode. Her name's Sherry Bobbins.
Oh, wait, I've seen that
yeah.
episode.
And the episode ends with her like floating away with her umbrella, and they're all saying, you think we'll ever see her again? I'm sure we will. And then like a plane.
Oh, she gets sucked into a jet turbine.
Flies through her.
Yeah.
Flies through her.
She gets sucked into a turbine.
Oh,
yeah.
The plane flies through her.
she flies through the plane, my
yes.
mistake.
Yeah, I was just waiting for like the kid to, you know, was like a little speck in the distance, and the bike just like brutal accident gets up,
yeah, that
gets up the little speck, just like
it
I'm okay, and then the explosion.
Yeah, it did
happens.
Set that up with
yeah.
like, have you ever ridden one of these before? not even dignifying that with a response. Right away.
Well, he seemed to know how to ride it well enough.
It's like he was a
you
movie,
knew how to start
he's,
it.
He's a movie character, so movie characters could just hit things until they work, and he's like, hit motorcycle, it works, okay.
Yeah.
He can ride a bike, he can ride a motorcycle.
Same
mm-hmm. thing.
Dodge a wrench.
I just assume everyone in movies is like living in the Matrix, and you just download like schematics to learn things.
That's called writing, and it's like, and then he can
yeah,
do it.
And then he did this. They knew Kung Fu. I just want the Matrix to be real.
This
guys.
Movie
specifically the memory. Like,
this movie actually took place in the Matrix universe, though.
I knew
they
it.
Didn't acknowledge it.
I
but
knew
it, did.
It. I knew it. Yeah.
Hey, remember Place Beyond the Pines?
I do. We talked about it a lot.
Yeah. Is there anything we didn't cover? We got the soundtrack. We got
I mean,
the visuals. We got the acting. We got the story. We got the character. Like, what?
Mm.
What
do you think we can? You can. Just remove everything a movie is and dissect it and lay it out on the table and be done with it in a 45-minute conversation. You disgust me, sir.
I think so.
Well, then we're done. Yeah.
All right.
Early, I know we briefly hinted at the it looks good. Do we want to go into further detail on that? I think it.
Oh, wait, your favorite line?
Yeah, the best line.
Yeah, what was
not
that? To
movie.
Give any. Yeah.
There's a tendency to, when something transcends terrible student filmmaking, say that, but doesn't necessarily, like, transcend terrible student film storytelling,
yeah.
to say, well, it looked good, which is just the most backhand compliment. It's like, well, at least you managed this part of making a movie.
Wait, what are you
in a way
about,
that
though?
Looked good. Oh, there, I mean, it's happened, but both Mike and I have experienced this feedback where we work on a project
and we pour our like heart and soul
and
into
everything
it.
Into it, and
yeah.
then the only response is, well, it looked good. Like, you didn't fail at making like,
it was a
anyway,
movie.
It exists.
I saw it with my eyes.
Anyway, so that's my least favorite criticism of anything.
What was your favorite line in the movie?
Good. Oh, my favorite line in the movie was Killing Him Softly Guy. When Dane DeHaan is talking to him about his dad for the first time, and he says, were you guys friends?
That's,
he says,
I think
we were friends. And I was just like,
oh.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing where he's like, yeah, we were good friends, because we were like really good
yeah.
friends, because memory, why not just make everything look a little
yeah.
better
but
in the
just,
past?
The line,
like,
I think we were friends, like, says so much about their relationship, and
yeah.
it's like, oh, I can totally understand.
Yeah. Because I think we're friends, Gus, but...
I think we're friends? I mean, you look good. Like,
My favorite line was everything Bradley Cooper's son said was just completely
actually,
indecipherable.
Yeah. However, I will
yeah.
say that was some of the best, like, sketchy kid dialogue.
Colloquial dialogue.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
unbelievable.
I believed him so completely.
Like,
yeah.
so obvious, like,
John
man, like...
Yeah.
Darn this crap, so stupid. Like, you know,
YOLO,
like,
let's
like,
get some E.
Like,
get your local dealer,
brah.
Exactly. And, like, it was so, like, natural. I mean, I feel like they didn't even write it. Like, they just told them what they were supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
These kids, like, obviously know that colloquialism better than the writers do, and so
yeah.
just like roll with it.
Yeah, the whole
it
like
felt very real
when he's like when he like forgives him and then tells him to bring the oxycodone
yeah.
to the party.
Oh,
like,
that,
was
I was
fucked up.
I was so fucking pissed off at that kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you bastard!
Yeah,
oh,
did not.
Yeah, he achieved like a Ray Liotta level of insinuating what he wanted in that conversation.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't remember the any of the. Line sadly.
I was also waiting for what's his face to say enlist in Starfleet.
Oh, oh god, that's who that was.
Yeah. He was great.
That's
I,
who that was. I
yeah.
couldn't. I was like, I know you.
I couldn't. I can't think of his name still, but I thought
yeah.
he was really good. Actually, he
yeah.
was a great like.
Oh, that was my okay. That's one of my favorite lines. Was when he's like, "I'll give you I'll give you DA, but I'll never shake your hand."
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That
was
fantastic.
Was, yeah. Well, that
was, so
I mean,
good.
That's so that
or
speaks
DA,
so much
yeah.
to the like. The hierarchical sort of like corruptive forces inside, you know, like the internal politics
yeah.
of what policing is and how mm-hmm. like it has a net positive in a way, but like
yeah.
so much inside is negative that it's almost like built on this foundation that's so shaky that it's like, you know, it's a house of cards. House of cards. You know, but I thought that whole sequence was just like one of the most. Like, I wasn't necessarily memorable, but it was so, like, well done that I almost forgot. I mean, I forgot it even happened. I was like, wow,
yeah.
like, that was so good. I just sort of
well,
just was what it was.
And that's the thing, is that, like, the line out of context doesn't sound that great, but with the narrative and the acting, everything
yeah.
else, it, like, resonates so well.
And with Bradley Cooper's character, you know,
mm-hmm.
because his, you know, that's his...
yeah.
Down, not, I mean, he's alive at the end of the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's also, yeah, I mean, that's his arc through that is very interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, you think that he's like, oh, like, I'm going to expose the corruption of the police system, when really it's all just so that he
it's
can
all for
be DA. Like,
yeah, well, was
and that's why his son
so
becomes, oh, yeah, and that's what I was trying to bring up before, is that, like, that's why his son becomes such a shithead. Because he's not there, and Rose Byrne is, like, left
yeah.
to raise him, and he doesn't have that
mm-hmm. And they divorce.
They divorce.
Yeah.
I love the conversation between Bradley Cooper and his dad in the pool, and his dad's talking about politics, and he's like, yeah, like, canes are great in politics for the sympathy card. And again, you're looking into these systems, whether they be political or authoritarian. Actually, well, both are, but, or, like, you know, police. And, it just... Like, everything's very self-motivated and not as selfless as you would like to believe.
Yeah. Also, foreshadowing of the chase going through the cemetery was great. When Ryan Gosling is escaping from Bradley Cooper.
Well, right, but what was the foreshadowing?
Oh, well, that's when he dies at the end of that scene. Like, he goes into the cemetery.
Oh!
And makes it out alive, and it's like, and you're like, oh, like, he's gonna live, like, he made it out of the cemetery, and then just, like, immediately gets stuck in this, like, 1-inch wide, like, Mombasa Inception.
That was scary.
Like,
like,
what a stupid obstacle. Just, like, a 1-foot high barrier. And he's like, oh, I can't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I just, like, there are things like that.
And they're, like, the comical series of things that fuck him up
yeah.
in the robbery.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's so annoying. You're just like, God,
and also,
how can you not escape?
You know what? You know why you think he's going to escape? Because he forgets his sunglasses. So you think, like,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
shit, he can be identified from his tattoo now.
Yeah.
So that's, like,
that's going to come back
and
later.
Like, and it's like, no, you're so stupid for going through this robbery. Oh, you're screwed. That's going to be your downfall. But,
yeah.
like, no, it didn't even matter. Didn't even get a chance for that to matter.
Yeah.
So, great,
and the
yeah.
backpack throwing over the,
yeah.
over the window.
Just that great,
oh,
like,
that was
like,
awesome.
Everything
yeah.
Yeah.
that could have gone wrong did. And, like, you still think that he's going to make it out the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, because they have that, just, like, great little, even if you're not, like, fully aware of it, like, that thematic sort of, like, teaching, like, because you know how stories work, so it's
yeah.
just like layering
yeah,
in
yeah,
the little clues that, like, just one or two little hints that, like,
yeah.
he has more to do in the movie.
Yeah,
right.
such a
well,
good
that,
job dangling
I mean,
the carrot.
That just makes his death, like, so. I mean, like, I didn't think he died. I was like, oh, he fell out a window. Like, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
when we saw him, I knew.
Back,
when
like,
we saw him, I knew it was dead. Like, he had dead character, movie character eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been like, and then I was like, wait, is he not dead? That pissed me off. And then, no, he was very dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And well, then it's like, said,
it
and then said it's like such an offhand thing, too. It was like, no, he's dead. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that guy. Ryan Gosling's really dead.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
he's super dead.
I love the car chase they filmed it almost exclusively from the dash of the
mask.
Yeah,
that was so effective. And that's all one. That was one take, correct?
Well, it was like switched between other cars, but like when it was in the car, it stayed
right.
in that take. Yeah.
Yeah, like it would switch like gravity.
It distances you from Ryan Gosling really well.
Yeah.
You don't really feel like you're even like it's sort of setting up the tag team aspect of like, you know, you're sort of switching characters, like you're worried
yeah.
about Ryan Gosling, but now you're connected to the police officer, and like it just starts to sort of like peel back from that, and you know, Ryan Gosling goes up and starts talking on the phone, and then suddenly it's all Bradley Cooper from the, you know, for the rest of the movie. It's like very interesting how they sort of bleeds over.
And I think that's why the change from Gosling to Bradley works so well, as they do a good job leading up to that, and that's probably also why, like, conversely, maybe the third act wasn't as smooth, because instead of doing something as
yeah.
you know, fluid as that, they do 15 years later.
But because it was all about being a father,
yeah.
I think.
That, I mean, that,
example,
yeah.
like it's,
and
it's
the problem
theme.
Is that's such a huge cut through time. Like, there's just no avoiding
yeah.
it. You know,
yeah.
like a montage, like, oh, like, here he's growing up and becoming corrupt.
Another turning point, the fox
yeah.
took in the road.
That's true, man.
yeah, no, I mean,
by the
I agree, it didn't really work, but I don't know how it possibly could have with what the story really was.
I know.
Okay. I think that the fact that they acknowledged it was, didn't acknowledge it was the best possible choice. Like,
yeah.
Rather than trying to explain it away in some kind of wishy-washy, like, technique,
yeah.
Okay, anything else? Because I think we've just about said enough for tonight about this particular film. We've had a good long chat. Anyone else? No?
Go see the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And that way, when we go to, you know, the movies to see male melodramas, we'll get more of this and maybe less pain and gain? Maybe more pain and gain? I don't know.
Last word. We were talking about, I think it's the Bechdel test, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Did this pass?
Oh god, no.
Exactly.
Oh.
I just heard about that. It's whether...
Did two feet, okay.
Something that wasn't a man.
Yeah, okay. Why the fuck did Eva Mendes sleep with Gosling again?
Yeah, I didn't believe that.
That was fucking, that was stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, no. No, you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hot, but come on.
You're
pretty hot, too.
Yeah,
like,
the character.
I think that it miserably failed that test.
Oh, no. That's, like, the biggest...
They don't ever...
I mean,
there's Eva Mendes and her mom, and they
yeah,
don't have a conversation.
The female characters in this movie suck. But,
well,
but it's
actually,
not about... It's not about...
I know,
yeah,
but that's,
so
like... I know. I'm not saying it's, like, it's not a flaw.
They also are, like, some of the most sympathetic characters in the whole movie.
That's true. Well, yeah.
I actually love Eva Mendes' husband...
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, I thought
he was
mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Okay. But on that, mitigating our affection of it, note slightly,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we still highly recommend A Place Beyond the Pines. I'm not sure what we're doing next week. Week after
we're
that.
We're doing Monsters University.
No, because, well, we just, it doesn't matter when we're seeing it. It's not, I'm not putting out a Monsters University podcast
two months before
the movie comes
true.
Out.
Something else.
SCA Network is doing a screening of Pain Game.
We are not.
None of us can go.
You're not
that.
Really.
Our schedules don't work. Yeah.
I'm not in the SCA Network.
I got a guest pass.
It's some behind the scenes.
I'm so in.
It's
yeah.
behind
I
the scenes
love this
stuff.
Part of
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Where you talk about our awkward like.
Our weekly plans.
When
ladies.
You go to class, like,
we end up seeing.
Camera, are you free 7:30 tomorrow?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Like, I want to see Upstream Color, but I don't know if we'll actually get out to that.
I would love to see Upstream
yeah.
Color. Is
yeah.
it playing in theaters?
It's in like some theater in LA.
VHS only.
I really want to see that. I love it.
But
it didn't make sense. But I well, it did. But it did.
Okay. So maybe that. Maybe something else. We shall see.
Maybe we'll rewatch Limitless.
But there will be.
Maybe
yes.
we'll watch Drag Me to Hell and Spider-Man 2.
Okay. Yeesh.
I'm not busting through an hour.
Stop it. Yeah, but there.
Guys,
this is
gonna
like,
happen.
This is like one of our worst closing the show attempts ever. But we will do something, and then Iron Man 3 will be the week after that. Woo. We will still have Game of Thrones episodes and all that for you, so look forward to more wonderful content. You can like us on Facebook, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes, email anything to postcredits@gmail.com.
Please.
Something relevant. I'm Michael Chasen.
Ty Sheed Lowe.
Cameron Evans.
Michael Evenberger.
And Gus Bendinelli.
This was the Post Credits Podcast, and we will talk to you next time. Goodbye.